If you have your copy of the Word of God today, go ahead and take it and turn to 1 Samuel. And we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 4 through chapter 7 today. I want to say thank you for a couple of my guys are here. My student assistant is Weston Smith, and he hails all the way from Brighton, Tennessee, and we're glad that he's here. Then one of our pastors at West Jackson, Ron Hale, is with us, and he hails from Southside High School here in Jackson and from Union University. So thank you guys for being with us today. When I left the church at West Jackson a few minutes ago, there were a couple of the lady teams from the NAIA practicing, and I wasn't sure if it was the Lady Bulldogs' opponent for tonight, but we're certainly pulling for the Lady Bulldogs in the tournament. Well, today we're going to look at a word that is really significant. You know, there are some bad words. There really are some bad words that are in our society, in our regular vernacular, words like disease, words like death, racism, today terrorism. It's a big word, Holocaust. These are really bad words. We're going today to talk about a word in the Old Testament that's probably not in our vernacular on a regular basis. We probably don't use it in an everyday approach, but it's the word Ichabod. It means the glory of God has departed. And I'm not trying to be all mystical on you today, but this morning as I read over this passage, it was as if the Lord impressed me that the scripture we're going to look at today was really a testimony of my life. And we're today going to see how a group of people went through this Ichabod time in their life when the glory of God had departed. And so here's what happens. The children of Israel, they're going to war, and they're going to war against the Philistines or the Philistines, and they're going at a place called Ebenezer. And they go into war, they go into battle, and they lose 4,000 of their troops in this battle. They don't understand why. Children of Israel retreat. They begin to talk amongst themselves. I can only imagine one said, well, I remember when Moses had the Ark of the Covenant and the enemies just seemed to skedaddle, if you will, if you know what that word is. And another one might have said, well, I remember when Joshua had the Ark of the Covenant and he took it there and the sea, the river just opened up like the Red Sea. Why don't we take the Ark of the Covenant to battle with us? Now, you remember the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of the Lord. So why in the world would anyone want to go to battle without the presence of the Lord? There was a cherubim here and a cherubim there, and the presence of Almighty God rested in this Ark of the Covenant. Been a lot of movies about the power of the Ark of the Covenant through the years, and so they went back to battle with the Philistines again. This time, they were so confident because they had the Ark of the Covenant. The high priest Eli said, I believe this is going to happen. I'm going to send my sons. He sends his son Hophni. He sends another son Phinehas. He has the Ark of the Covenant, and they go back into battle again at Ebenezer a second time. This time they didn't lose 4,000 of their troops. They lost 30,000 of their troops. But that really wasn't the worst for the high priest, because what happened is Hophni, his son, Phinehas, his other son, died, and the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines. So there was an emissary from the battle, and he runs back to the high priest, and the Bible says he's disheveled and he's got dirt all over his face. He finds the high priest, 98 years old, bad eyesight, overweight, sitting in a chair, just gazing out at the distance, waiting to hear a word from the battle. When this emissary comes to talk to the high priest, he says to Eli, I've got bad news, sir. Your son Hophni is dead. Your son Phinehas is dead. But sir, more importantly, the Ark of the Covenant has been captured by the Philistines. At this time, the overweight, blind, old high priest falls back on his chair, the Bible says, and breaks his neck and dies. At this time, Eli's daughter-in-law, we don't have her name, we'll call her Mrs. Phinehas, begins to get this message. And she hears, by the way, she's great with child at this time, she begins to hear that her brother-in-law, Hophni, dead. Her father-in-law, Eli, is dead. Her husband, Phinehas, is dead. And to top it all off, the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of Almighty God, has been captured by these pagan Philistines, the enemy of the children of Israel. She immediately goes into labor, and according to the Word of God, somewhat into a trance. She's just looking off into the distance. As she delivers her baby, the midwife is saying, "Oh, you've got a beautiful baby boy, the prettiest I've ever seen other than my own." And the whole time, though, Mrs. Phinehas is just staring off into the distance. It's at that time she says the only thing that she said during this whole thing of the delivery. She said, "I will call his name Ichabod, for the glory of God has departed Israel, because the Ark of the Covenant has been captured by the Philistines." So the Philistines, now they have it. They have the Ark of the Covenant, and they're going to take it to three cities. Bad things happen everywhere they go. If you have your Bible, now we're in 1 Samuel chapter 5, and they take it, first of all, to a city called Ashdod. The Philistines take the Ark of the Covenant, and they place it right next to a pagan idol called Dagon. Dagon, the pagan. And so they place the Ark of the Covenant right next to Dagon, the pagan. And here is this, get the picture, here is this statue of this god right next to the presence of Almighty God. And that night, do you know what happened? Boop! Dagon the pagan fell down. Great lesson here. The Philistines went back the next day, and they tried to prop up that pagan god next to the Ark of the Covenant, just like the world does today. They try to get artificial gods and prop them up and put them right next to what Holy God would have us to do and to be, and they want us to take a substitute for the real thing. Well, the second night, Dagon the pagan, Ark of the Covenant are right here. You know what happens. Say it with me. Boop. He falls down. Dagon falls, loses his head. He's decapitated. The palms of his hand come off. They're broken off. And the only thing that is left is the core, is the torso of Dagon the pagan. So they decide, man, we want to get the Ark of the Covenant out of Ashdod. So they say, why don't we take, we're in chapter 5 of 1 Samuel, he said, why don't we take the Ark of the Covenant, and why don't we take it to Gath? You know where Gath is? That's where all the big guys are. That's where Goliath is from. So they take the Ark of the Covenant to Gath. Bad things happen. Maybe your Bible says it's tumors, it's boils. I won't go into detail, but I had this picture that's kind of these running sores. And so you can imagine the people at Gath are saying, man, let's get this Israelite God, Yahweh, Jehovah God, let's get him out of here. And so they take him to the last place, to Ekron, E-K-O-N, Ekron, or Ekron, E-K-R-O-N. And so they take him to Ekron, and hey, bad things happen. They begin to have boils, they begin to have sores. And so finally, now here's the picture. The Philistines have the Ark of the Covenant, and they say, enough, enough. We want to give you, Israel, back the Ark of the Covenant, your God. But not only that, we think this is such the right thing to do. We're going to give you an offering. So they gave an offering while they gave the Ark of the Covenant back to the children of Israel. Now, 20 years passed by this time. Samuel is the high priest. And an amazing transformation is about to take place. A metamorphosis takes place, because they had been in this state of Ichabod. Remember, the glory of God departed. There's about 6 words in the Old Testament referencing the glory of God. So get the picture of the glory of God departing by these words: beauty, an Old Testament word, departed, purity, departed, prominence, departed, unbounded, departed, grandeur, departed, authoritative, departed. The glory of God, this Ichabod experience had happened. Now, if you'll come on in here for a minute, this is where I want to just tell you a bit of my story. I've never really told anyone this, ever, to my knowledge, but there was a time in my life I had kind of an amazing salvation, which all salvations are. I wasn't raised in a Christian home and hadn't been to church like ever in my life. So when I got saved, it was a big deal. There came a time in my life, interestingly enough, when I was in college, I was a student at a Christian school much like this one. And I began to feel an emptiness. Oh, I was surrounded by Christian people. And I know in a week or so, some of you are going on mission trips, and there was a lot of Christian activity going on. But for me personally, it was as if I was walking through an Ichabod experience, that the glory of God, that the favor of God was no longer in my life. I wasn't out doing terrible things. I wasn't committing crimes or anything, but I found that it was just empty, that the Word of God was not that meaningful to me anymore, that my prayers didn't seem to be getting past the ceiling, and I found myself in a hollow, might I say, an Ichabod experience in my life. The transition takes place for the children of Israel when they went from Ichabod to what the Bible calls an Ebenezer experience. And my testimony is the same as Israel, so let's take what Samuel says to the children of Israel and how they transition from Ichabod to Ebenezer. And notice what Samuel says to these folks in 1 Samuel chapter 7. And I will begin I'll just start in verse 3. Samuel told them, if this conditional covenantal relationship that the children of Israel had with God, if, he says, you are returning to the Lord. If you are conditionally returning to the Lord. And so for me personally, for the children of Israel collectively, if we're going to transition from the Ichabod times in our life to the Ebenezer time in our life, the first thing we need to do is we need to change our mind. We need to return. The word is repent. We need to change our mind about some things. We can no longer laugh off the things that put Jesus on the cross. We can no longer take lightly that sin that Jesus died for, but we've got to change our mind. Well, notice what else he says. If, I'm in verse 3, you are returning to the Lord with all your heart. In the New Testament, we find out that you can't serve God and mammon too, so there aren't really any substitutes. And then notice what Samuel says to them. Get rid of all your foreign gods, of the Ashtaroths. In other words, get rid of anything that is competing. For the children of Israel, that was their darling God. They loved the Ashtaroth. And for us, and I'm not here to pick, I don't know what it is. I think for our society, it might be athletics today. I don't know what really we substitute collectively in our lives. But I do know that for me personally and for others, we begin to put some things right next to holy God. And they become for us the Dagon of our lives. And we begin to prop them up and we begin to make excuses and say, well, we're very close to God and I'm not that far off. But the truth is, we are in an Ichabod experience and the favor of God and the glory of God has departed from our lives. And we find that we're not only not in the Word and we're not only not praying and we're not sharing our faith, but we're really not experiencing the presence of Almighty Holy God. So the first thing he says is you've got to repent. You've got to change your mind. Well, notice what else happened down in verse 6. And when they gathered at Mitzpah, they drew water and poured it out in the Lord's presence, and they fasted. Now, I want to say a word to you, particularly if you're about to go off on a mission trip. You don't hear much about it, but I believe one of the greatest disciplines for us to get out of the Ichabod experience of our life into the Ebenezer time in our life is to fast. And I want to encourage you to read. There's a lot of books. The old classic is by Arthur Wallace called God's Chosen Fast. Bill Bright has written a book. Ronnie Floyd has written a book about fasting. And I believe that in this day and age, we deprive ourselves of so little. I'm not just talking about doing without food. I'm talking about doing without something to enter into the presence of the Lord. We called a fast at our church a year or so ago, and this lady came up to me. She was serious as she could be. She said, "Pastor, I'm fasting Facebook." I said, "Well, whatever." It's not just doing without something, but it's taking that time and supplementing it to spend time with the Lord. And so what they do to transition from the Ichabod times, they changed their mind. They repented. In verse 6, they fasted, and then they confessed. They confessed. That's to agree with God. And I think that for us to transition from this time, that's what we need to do. I like in verse 8, if you want to look down there, what they said to Samuel is, "Don't stop praying for us, for you." Now, I would say, like the old song says, don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Don't stop praying. Don't stop. Don't be weary in well-doing. Well, here's what happens. This is the shift. This is how the children of Israel transitioned from Ichabod, where the glory of God departed, to Ebenezer. Look in verse 8 or verse 12. Afterward, well, let's look in verse 11. Then the men of Israel charged out of Mizpah, and they pursued the Philistines. Now, get the picture. The Philistines had actually kicked them on two different occasions, 4,000 one time, 30,000 another time. So suddenly, the children of Israel are stoked, and they're pumped up, and they're ready to go. And so they charge out against the enemy, and they strike them down all the way below Bethkar. So they take them down. Finally, they have the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God with them. They have victory over their enemy. They have repented of their sin. They had fasted. They had confessed. They had prayed. And they transitioned from Ichabod to notice what the Bible has to say in verse 12. Afterward, after they got victory, Samuel took a stone and set it upright. What's that seem like? Dagon the pagan. Instead of putting up some pagan sign, he puts up a stone of remembrance. And he named it, Samuel named it, Ebenezer. Explaining, now here it is. God, the Lord, has helped us to this point. The reason we transition from Ichabod to Ebenezer is because he's been faithful to us. You've heard testimonies of how faithful God has been to this university. And God has been faithful to you. And he's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He's promised that the righteous will never be begging bread to meet all of our needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. He is worthy. Hallelujah, of our very best. The Lord has helped us so far. So, for me, when I was a college student, I transitioned from this time of empty, hollow, shallow Ichabod, where the glory of God had departed from my life, to a time of Ebenezer. I want to encourage you today. You've had this great spring chapel. You've had a good week this week in AIA's getting ready to start. That you would not settle for an Ichabod experience of simply going through the motion, but you would like to communicate with Robert Robinson, who said this, "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I pray by thy good mercy safely to arrive at home." Let's pray together. Father, it's my desire today that for me, for these students, for this faculty, for these friends, that we would not settle for the Ichabod times in our life. Lord, we are prone to wander. We feel that. And I pray, Father God, that you would give us a holy hunger for you, a burning desire for righteousness, for holiness, that we could raise our Ebenezer of praise. Lord, would you convict us through your Holy Spirit of sin, righteousness, and judgment? And Lord, may we give glory to you in that which we say and that which we do. And may our Ebenezer be raised, that you have been faithful to us thus far. To God be the glory. Amen and amen.